Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Yud Beis. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Francine Solomon and also Flora S. Silber. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We continue to learn for the safety of Tzal. They should be successful in bringing back the Chatufim, successful in all of their endeavors, and then there should be Shalom al all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up on the Mishnah about a third of the way down on Yud Beis Amud Aleph with the following. Mitzias bino ubi toa kitanim. If a person has a son or a daughter that are kitanim, we'll have two different ways to define kitanim. The first way we'll define it is that they mean boys or girls under the age of bar bas mitzvah. Later on, we'll see there's another definition that it could be talking about a child that is no longer financially dependent upon you. That is a gadol, regardless of their age. So even a 10-year-old kid that's no longer financially dependent upon you, this din would not apply. When it applies to bino bito aktan, it means children that are dependent upon you financially, whether they're below or even above the age of bar or bas mitzvah. So a 15-year-old kid that's dependent upon you, this would also include his mitzios. And anyway, let's learn it simple right now that it's talking about a child under the age of bar or bas mitzvah. Mitzias bino ubito haktanim. If your young child under the age of bar or bas mitzvah finds something on the street, the Mishnah will say in a moment that it belongs to you. So the father would be entitled to have that. Likewise, Mitzias Avdo v'shivchoso ha-kananim. If you have an Eved Kanani or a Shivcho Kananis, and they find something, it likewise belongs to you. Mitzias Ishto, a person's wife, if she finds something, it likewise belongs to the husband, Hare Elushlo. In all of these situations, it belongs to the father slash husband slash owner of the Eved Kanani. Now, why is this? So Rashi explains, v'no katon v'gmor mefarish. By Taima, the Gemara will explain what the rationale is behind the, quote, katan, the child that is a boy or girl under the age of bar bas mitzvah, according to the first interpretation. And bito haktana, that is based upon psukim that we bring down, Rashi says, from the Gemara in Ksubos, that show that the katana, the af nara, kol shevach nura leovia, that anything that she has, it belongs to her father. And mitzias abdo shivchoso haktanim shalo, Rashi says, shari gufo konilo, because they belong to you, olamitz, forever. Kedetziv, as the pasuk displays, this is nechaltem osam, you have ownership over them, and therefore anything that they find is as if you found it. And finally, Mitzias Ishto, that Rashi says is a din de Rabbanon. Rabbanon takinu le mishum eva. He has to go and support her. So if she then found something and didn't have to give it to him, so that would bring katata, that would bring fighting into the family. So therefore, Chazal instituted that if the husband is supporting his wife, so then Mitzias Ishto belonged to the husband. So in all of these situations, the Mishnah explains Hare El Shalom. However, conversely, Mitzias Bino Ubito Hagidolim. Again, first interpretation would be that he has a son or a daughter that are above the age of Bar and Bas Mitzvah. So then the items that they find belong to them. Likewise, Mitzias Abdo V'Shivchoso Ho'Ivrim. If he has an Eved Ivri or an Omo Ho'Ivriya, so their findings belong to them. They don't go to the Baal. And finally, Mitzias Ishto Shigersha. If a man divorced his wife, Afa Bishalono San Ksuba, even though he didn't yet pay the Ksuba, so then all of these situations, they keep their own Mitzios Hare Elu Shalohen. Now, some of these are a little bit obvious over here, and the Gemara will discuss what the Chiddush is in these cases. Okay, Gemara starts off and tells us, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel tells us, Bipnei Ma Amru Mitzias Katan Liobir. Why did Shmuel, say, explain our Mishnah telling us that the mitziah of a katan, of a young boy, belongs to his father? So Shmuel explains, Shemeshah, Shemotza, at the time that this young child, under the age of Bar Mitzvah, we're working with right now, finds this mitziah, he immediately merits Eitzel Aviv. He runs it to his father and says, look, Dad, look what I found. The Eino Ma'acher Biyodo. And therefore, he doesn't keep it by himself. It's as if he acquired it, therefore, for his father. Now, that is Shmuel's understanding over here of the Mishnah, which we're assuming right now is Shmuel's understanding as well. So Shmuel says that seems to go against another interpretation that Shmuel has said elsewhere. Lememra, from our Mishnah, it seems to imply that Shmuel holds, the Sava Shmuel, katan les lezechiyah lenafshei midaraisa. Based upon the fact that our Mishnah says it belongs to the father, that implies that according to Shmuel, his understanding of the Mishnah, and Mistama, his understanding, his personal shita is that a child under the age of bar mitzvah, a boy under the age of bar mitzvah, doesn't have any zechiyah. He doesn't have the ability to make a kinyan in this item on a deraisa level. But that goes against what Shmuel said in the following brisa. What Shmuel explains, the brisa says, "Watanya hasokre sapol yilaki bino achrav." The brisa tells us that if a person goes and hires a poor person to go and harvest his field, He's giving a poor person a job. So that poor person's son is allowed to go with him afterwards and pick up anything that is left behind. So if he drops some of the sheaves unintentionally, so that's leket. Or if the shichra, he forgot to harvest certain sheaves, so his own son, Bino, is allowed to go and collect after him. Now, if, however, this person hired this worker as a percentage owner, like a sharecropper, lemechza, that he'll get 50% of what he collects, or l'shlish, he'll get a third of what he collects, or l'revi, he'll get a fourth of what he collects, lo yilaki b'no achrav. Then the Braisa says that his young son is not allowed to go and collect afterwards the leket and the shechacha that he leaves behind. That is the opinion of the Tanakam in this Braisa. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi omer, ben kach u ben kach, whether he's just hiring him as a worker to go and harvest, or he's giving him a percentage of the crops like a sharecropper, so yilakate bino the ishto achrav, his son or his wife are allowed to go and collect the leket and shechacha behind them, and that's the Braisa. The Amar Shmuel halacha Rav Yossi, and Shmuel says clearly that the halacha is like Rav Yossi. Now, how does this show us that Shmuel does hold this as zechiya daraisa, which conflicts with the way Shmuel learned our Mishnah? Now, Iyamis Bishlomo Katan Islay zechiya l'narshe. If in fact you hold that the katan on a daraisa level does acquire this, so then we understand why the katan is allowed to go and acquire the leket and the shechicha, because he is a poor person in his own right. And he picks up the leket and shechicha as a poor person. He's entitled to go have the leket and shechicha. He's not picking it up on behalf of his father. Now, ki komalaket l'navshei komalaket. When he's collecting it on his own behalf, making a zechia in it on a deraisa level. And then, if he gives it to his father, so that's perfectly permissible. A poor person is allowed to go take something and then give it to a rich person if he chooses to do so. So the father is classified as a rich person because he's a partial owner in the field. Or alternatively, because it's considered to a certain extent his field, Rashi explains, and therefore, even if you're a poor person and you have a field, you're not allowed to go take the matnos aniyim from your own field. So therefore, this scenario, if you hold that the child is getting a zechiah in on a deraisa level, we understand why the braisa allows the child to go and collect behind the father. However, elo iyamis katan less le zechiah l'nashe, but if you were to hold that the katan doesn't have a zechiah on a deraisa level in what he picks up, so then when he's picking it up, his father gets it. Ki komalake lo aviv komalake, and how can he do that? Avua oshihu, as we pointed out, his father is considered a rich person over here, because he's a partial owner in the field as a sharecropper, and therefore, amai ishto uvno malakit achru. And then why should his son or his wife, if his son doesn't have a zechiah on a deraisa level, so then it's essentially as if the father is collecting his own leket and shechicha, which he's not allowed to do. So there seems to be a stira. Here clearly Shmuel holds that there is a zechiah deraisa, but we explained our Mishnah, Shmuel saying that there is no zechiah deraisa. So we have a stira in Shmuel. So where says, no, there's no stira in Shmuel. It's a stira in the Mishnah and the braisa. Yeah, Shmuel, taima de tana di don kamar. Shmuel was explaining what is the rationale of the tana of Mishnah saying that the mitziah of the katan belongs to the father because he holds the tana of our Mishnah that there is no zechiyah on the deraisa level. Shmuel himself, however, the lay, lo sirle, he doesn't hold like that. Shmuel holds like the tana in the braisa that says that there is a zechiyah to the child on the deraisa level. So there's no sirah in Shmuel, there's a machlokas between the Mishnah and the braisa. Now, we had said in the Braisa, the Sover of Yossi caught an Islay Zechim of the Raisa. The way we explained the Braisa was that according to Rav Yossi, clearly the child does have a Zechiah, the child is considered a poor person, and therefore can go and collect the leket or the shechicha that was left behind by his father, the sharecropper. Now, Vatnan, Mitzias Chere Shotev Kotan Yesh Behem Mishum Gezel Mipnei Darki Sholom. This Braisa now tells us that a Cheresh, Shoto, and Koton, they go and find something, so on a deraisa level, they don't have a kinyan in it. And technically, anybody could go and take it from them. However, the rabbis instituted Mishum Darki Shalom, so people shouldn't start fighting with Cheresh, Shoto, and Koton, and they'll fight back, and it's just going to lead terrible things. So the rabbis instituted it on a derabana level, something that the Cheresh, Shoto, or Koton pick up belongs to them. And it's Gezel Mipnei Darki Shalom. The rabbis instituted this takana that they should have it in order that they shouldn't be fighting. It's because of Darki Shalom. We want to have peace amongst people. That is the opinion of the Tanakama. Rav Yossi Omer, Gezel Gomor. No, this isn't just Gezel Mipnei Darki Shalom to have peace over here. This is actual Gezel. Now, that sounds like it's Daraisa. However, the Omer of Chista, when Rav Yossi says it's Gezel Gomor, he means Midivrehen. He's only talking about Midirabanan. So the Tanakhama says it's Darki Shalom Midirabanan. And Rav Chista says it's Gezel Gomor Midivrehen. Bottom line is, they both say it's not Daraisa. By the way, as an aside, what's the difference between Darki Shalom and Gezel Gomor? So Nafkamina is Lohotzio B'dayonim, whether you could take somebody to court. If this Cheresh Shota and Katan picked it up because of Darki Shalom, the rabbi said they could keep it. But if somebody took it from them, you couldn't get it back in court because it's only because of Darki Shalom. But if you say it's Gezel Gomor Midivrehen, that the rabbi said Midirabanan, it's theirs, then you could get it back in court. But the bottom line is, Rav Yossi clearly holds over here that this zechia of the katan is only midirabanan. How can you say, Shmuel, that Rav Yossi's shita is zechia d'oraisa? So the Gemara says, El Omar Abaye, Abaye says, the following is the reasoning of Rav Yossi. Asu kimi shahol chubo nemushos. Why did Rav Yossi allow, if he holds that it's only a zechia midirabanan, so then it really belongs to the father, so then how come he allowed this son to go and collect in the field behind him? Even if he's not a sharecropper, according to Rav Yossi, benkach or benkach, even in a situation where the father is just a hired worker going and harvesting for that day, so the son is allowed to go and collect behind him. But if the son is not a zechia d'oraisa, so then he's giving it to the father. How can the father go and collect leket and shechacha from that field? He is considered not a ani in regards to that field. So the reasoning is, Abaye says, is according to Rav Yossi, we allowed the son to collect because when the son collects, he's like the nemushos. The nemushos are, Rashi points out, the likute basar likute. One of my favorite svarim is the likute basar likute on Pirkei Avos and on Chumash. And that's where this name comes from, that after a field has been gone through by all of the different aniyim, including these nemushos, those are like the last group of aniyim. They're the weakest and the most elderly and the slowest collectors. So there's nothing that's going to be left behind in terms of leket and shechicha in this field. No pail will be left behind in this field after the nemushos come through. So the rule is, once the nemushos have come through a field, any of the matnos aniyim are now considered hefker, and even a rich person can go get them, should the nemushos have left something behind. So everybody has given up hope. All the Nanim have given up hope once the Nemushos have gone through field that there's any Leket Shichcha or Matnos Nanim left in the field, and therefore it's now Hefker, and anybody can go and get it. So Abaye says that according to Rav Yossi, this son is like Nemushos, and therefore all the Nanim, when they see this man collecting, harvesting the field, and his son is going and collecting any things that are left over, such as Leket and Shichcha, so they've all given up hope, and that's why the son is able to be zoked on behalf of the father, because it's Hefker now, and the son is not collecting the Leket and Shichcha on behalf of the father. It's called Hefker that he's collecting, and he can give it to the father, because he doesn't have a Zechiyah Daraisa. Because the Aniyim Gufayu Masrei Datayu. This is the Hesach Adas. When the Nemushos come in, the Aniyim say, that's it, there's no Matnos Aniyim left. So when this son is collecting behind the father, so they say, well, there's nothing left, so therefore they've made it Hefker, they've given up hope of getting it, and that's why the son is allowed to get it. Savrei, they say, Berei Dehech, the son of this worker, Melachtelei, he's taking everything that's left in the field, and therefore it's all Hefker now because we've given up hope of having anything for ourselves. Tobias Teretz, but Rav Adam Bar Masa doesn't like this. Rav Adam Bar Masa says, wait a second, I'm like Rav Adam Bar Masa Le'abayi. Are you allowed to do that? What you're doing is creating the Nemusho situation by having this son collect. So if you put a lion in the field, would you be allowed to do that? Well, nobody's going there. They're not going to go near the lion. Are you permitted to go and have a lion crouch over there in your field? So the Anim will see the lion, they'll run away. Oh, now it's Hefker. The Anim have given up hope. You're not allowed to do that. So too, you're not allowed to have your son go and collect and make it like the Nemushos, because you can't go and take it away from the Aniyim intentionally. It's like putting a lion in the field. You can't have your son go and collect over there. So how are you allowed to do that? So we revise our teretz again. Elo Amar Rav, and we turn to Yud Beis Amud Beis. Rav says this is the reason why. Asu she'eino zoche kizoche. You're right. In this situation, Rav Yossi holds that the katan is not zoche on the right level. But the rabbis have made it that he's zoche to any of the leket, shichcha, matnos, aniyim that are left in the field, because everyone is happy with his takana. My taima, because the aniyim gufayu nichaluhu. All the aniyim say, this is a good setup. let's allow the child of a worker to go and collect the lekka shilcha and imatnas aniyim that are left behind, because just like it's good for that guy, it will be good for us. Ki hechi dechi agru liditu nilko binayu basrayu. This is an overall encompassing takana that the rabbis instituted. And yes, under normal circumstances, this would be putting like a lion in the field. However, if everybody agrees that this is a good idea, so that the rabbis were misaki, that all of the aniyim would like to have their own son go and collect behind them. And therefore, the aniyim say, if it's good for me, well, we'll let it be good for him as well. So therefore, that's why Rav Yossi said that this young boy is allowed to go collect behind his father. Not because he's Zohar on the rice level. No, he's only Zohar on the Rabbana level. That means that the father's getting it. But all the Aniyim agreed that this is allowed. And therefore, this was a takana that the rabbis put into effect. And therefore, as Rashi says, Bahai takanta, all the Aniyim are happy with it. The Chi Agru Lehu Liditu, because just like that guy is able to go have his son, when we go into a field, we'll be able to have our son as well. And therefore, that's why it's not a problem for Rav Yossi, even though it's a zechiya on a derabbanan level, but it's permitted in this situation. That's Rav Yossi's reasoning. Now the Gemara says that this sheet of Shmuel, explaining on Mishnah that there is no zechiya deraisa, and that Charles is really picking it up on behalf of the father, so that is upliga, the bachetz de Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. This is a disagreement with the shita of Rav Chiya bar Abba. What was Rav Chiya bar Abba shita? The Rav Chiya bar Abba on Rav Yochanan. Rav Chiya bar Abba said in Rav Yochanan, lo gadol gadol mamish. Here we have the second interpretation of Mishnah. When the Mishnah said gadol and katan, it didn't mean gadol above the age of bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, and katan below the age of bar bas mitzvah. Lo gadol gadol mamish, lo katan katan mamish. No, it meant, are you financially dependent upon the father or not? A gadol is not financially dependent upon the father, regardless of his age. A katan is someone who's financially dependent upon his father, regardless of the age. So elo gadol means v'samuch al shulchan aviv zeu katan. If a gadol, a 15-year-old kid, an 18-year-old kid, is still dependent upon his father financially, as today most children are, so then he's considered a katan in regards to his din, zehu katan. And then even though he has a zechiyah on a deraisa level, but those items that he picks up, since the father is supporting him, so quid pro quo, the father's entitled to his mitzvahs. On the other hand, the katan, the ain shamach al shulchan aviv, the kid's a 10-year-old kid, but he's financially independent. So then, zeu gadol. In this din, he's considered like a gadol, and he acquires his own mitzvahs. He doesn't have to give them to his father. Okay, so Shmuel's understanding of the Mishnah is different than Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. Then we said, the Mishnah said, Mitzias Abdo v'shivchoso ho'ivrim, harehu shel atzman. If there are Mitzios that his Evid Ivri or his Omo ho'ivriya actually find, so then they get to keep them themselves. But the Gemara says, this doesn't jive with what we learned previously. Amai, why don't we say it? We said in the previous Shurim that if somebody hires a worker to go and specifically work for him all day without specifying what his work is, so then any mitzias to that person, we learned yesterday, they belong to the Baal because he hired him. And an Eved Ivri should at least be considered like the worker who's hired by the one who hires him, that it should be anything that that worker finds belongs to the person who hired him. So certainly anything that the Eved Ivri finds should belong to the master, the one who is in responsible in the Baal of this Eved or Amor HaEvriya. So that's what the Gemara is asking right now. Am I? Lo yele po. We should consider the Eved Ivri or the Amo Ivriya to be like a worker that is specifically hired to work for the master. And therefore, it should belong to the master. How come our Mishnah says that the mitzvah of an Eved Ivri or an Amo Ivriya belongs to themselves? Harei hu shel atzman. So let's finish off the question, because we learned yesterday in the Brisa of Tanya, mitzias po liatzmo. A regular worker who finds something, his findings belong to him. Under what circumstances, however, is that true? But that's Bizman Shamala. That's when he was hired by the one who's hiring him to Nakeshi Mihayom. Go and weed for me today, or Adori Mihayom, or plow for me today, go and dig for me today. So then he was hired to do a specific thing. And then if he finds a mitzia, that wasn't what he was hired for. However, if the one who hired him said, Aval Amalo, Asei mi Melochayom, I'm hiring you for the day's work, so then anything that he does, including finding a mitzvah, is part of that day's work. And mitziyaso lebalabayis. So if the worker who's hired in this way, asei mi meloch hayom, his mitzvahs go to the balabayis, so then certainly the Eved Ivri, Amo Ivriya, they're at least like asei mi meloch hayom, and therefore it should go to the balabayis. Why did our Mishnah say that the mitzvahs of an Eved Ivri, Amo Ivriya, belong to themselves? So he gives multiple terutzim to this question. The first terutz is Amar Ruchia Bar Abba Amar Yochanan said. Ruchia Bar Abba said, Amar Yochanan, we're dealing over here with a very highly specialized Eved. Hochabi Eved, no cave Margolios Askina. This is a Eved that is going and stringing pearls together, which is a very, very, very highly skilled job. So this Eved that's putting the pearls together, he's making the holes in the pearls without destroying the pearls, that's a very, very highly skilled job that's worth an awful lot more money than any Metziah they may find. So the Baal HaBayis, who has this Eved that is capable of doing this highly specialized work, he doesn't want him to go and plow the field. He doesn't want him to go and bring him coffee. He wants this Eved to go work at his job of being no cave Margolios. He makes $200 an hour for the Baal HaBayis. So he doesn't want him going out and bringing him a coffee, which anybody could do for $1 an hour. So therefore, this Eved, She'ein Rabo Rotze Lishanoso Limlocha Acheres, doesn't want him to do something else. It would be very, very unusual for this Eved to go do something else. And therefore, if the Eved happens to go chance upon some sort of Metziah that was never within the ken, that was never within the realm of expectation that this would belong to the master, because he wants him to be Noke Margolios. So Rashi says if he finds something that happens to be worth more than his Noke Margolios, so he gets to keep it himself. Albeit, Rashi says, he has to go and pay the difference between what his payment would have been for doing the Noke Margolios that he has to give back to the person who hired him, because he wasn't Noke Margolios during that time, but he could keep the items. Let's say he finds a $500 bill and he makes $200 an hour, so therefore he'd have to keep the, he'd be entitled to keep the $500, but he'd have to pay the $200 that he didn't go and work during that time to the Baal HaBayis. But under normal circumstances, he doesn't want the Baal HaBayis doesn't want him to do anything else other than be Noke Margolios, so then anything that he finds belongs to him. Therefore, in the Har Mishnah, where he wasn't expecting to find such a very fancy, expensive item, so therefore he gets to keep it. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about. Metzias Abdo v'shivchoso Ivrim, harei hu shel atzmon. That's Teretz number one. Teretz number two is from Rava. And notice again it says, Rava Amar, Rapapa Amar. Those are going to be when we have that they're not mutually contradictory to each other. Instead of saying Amar Rava, that he's arguing, so we have Rava Omar. Rava is giving us a second teretz, not necessarily disagreeing with Ruchia Bar Abba Amar of Yochanan. He's just giving us another scenario how to explain our Mishnah. So Rava Omar, Rava says, B'magbiya mitziah im melachto askinan. That Rava says the reason why the Eved Ivri or the Omar Ivri gets to keep the item that they're picking up is because it didn't take away one iota from the work that they were doing for the master. So let's say they were going and weeding a field. So as they're weeding the field, they pull up the weeds. And as they pull up the weeds, so there's a ring attached to one of the weeds. Somehow somebody dropped it and it fell on there. And as they're pulling up the weed, it didn't detract at all from the melacha that they were doing for the Baal HaBayis. And therefore, they get to keep the ring that was attached to the weed. So therefore, while they were doing their work, it didn't delay or turn them away from doing 1 second, one iota's worth of work for the Baal HaBayis, and therefore that's why you get to keep it. That's teretz number two. Rapapa, my teretz number three, kigon shesacharo lelake mitzios. You know what we're dealing here? They were specifically hired to go and find things. And this is talking not about the Mishnah, but the Braisa. The Braisa that had said that a Pole who is asei imi melocha yom, Mitziyosu Baal HaBayis, that's talking about his job was to go and find things. And therefore, anything he finds obviously belongs to the Baal HaBayis. Now, what type of a job is it that somebody hires somebody to go find things for him? The Echidami. So, for example, the Akve Agma Bikavre. What you have over here is that the river overflowed its banks, and along with the water came a bunch of fish. But then the river receded, but the fish couldn't get above the bank and get back into the river, and all the fish are strewn all over the dry land. And this owner hires the person to go and collect these mitzios, these fish. As Rashi says, Shetzof hanor chutz ligidosav. The riverbank overflowed, the river overflowed the riverbank. Vitzofu adogim, and the fish floated up with the water. Ukishiyavshu amayim. However, when the water dried up, it went back. The fish couldn't get back. So therefore, Nimtzu Shom Dogim Harbe, there are many fish over here. And that's what it means. The Akvi means Targum Shel Hatsof. Akvi means they were floating over there. And therefore, that's what he hired the guy for, to go find Metzias. So no, he's telling him, go pick up these fish. And then when he picks up a ring, in addition to picking up the fish, so then that ring belongs to the Baal HaBayis. And that's what the Braisa says. I say imi malacha yom means go and work for me, finding stuff, the akve agma bekavre, so then anything that he finds, in fact, does belong to the Baal HaBayis. So those are three terutzim for the difference between the Mishnah, which says that an Eved Ivri's findings belong to himself, and the Braisa, which said that a pile who's working, which would include, seemingly, an Eved Ivri, who's working for the master without a specific assigned job, just work for me today, so then those Metzios go to the Baal HaBayis. Nadigmor says, Hai Shivcha Hechidamit. What is the case of the Amor HaEvriya that we're talking about, that the Mishnah says that the findings belong to her? Eid Aisei Shte Saros, if in fact she has Shte Saros, so then she's no longer an Amor HaEvriya. My boy Gabe, then what would she be doing by him? She would be a Gedola, and therefore she can't have Shte Saros and be an Amor HaEvriya. So obviously, the low Aisei Shte Saros, we must be talking about a girl who is under the age of Bas Mitzvah, so she doesn't have Shte Saros. So then, if her father is still alive, so the Avuya Havya. So then, anything that she has belongs to her father. And if the father's not alive, so Tepok B'misa Sa'av, then she goes free with her father's death, because the Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Ria, Kona Asma B'misa Sa'av, Mirushusa Odo, Mikav Homer, because Reish Lakish says that an Amar Avriya goes out from being an Amar Avriya with the death of her father. If Rachmana Litzlan, her father, passes away, that's also one of the criteria that she goes free. And this is based upon a Kavu Chomer. Now, what is the Kavu Chomer? So Rashi explains something more in Kiddushin. In Perek Kama de Kiddushin on Daf Tes Zayin, it says, Mas Simonim, if she reaches the age of physical maturity and she has Simonim, She'ein Motzim Rishusa'ad, when a Ketana reaches the age of physical maturity, she still belongs to the domain of her father until she's a Bogeris. So even though she has Simonim, she's now a Nara, but she's still in the domain of her father. So Simonim don't go and take her out from the Rishus of the father. Nevertheless, Motzim Rishusa'adam, but they take her out from being no longer anymore required to work for the owner of this Amor HaEvriya. When she has Simonim, she goes out. As the Gemara says, Yotzu Chidom. So the Psukim and Mishpatim tell us that she goes free with Simonim. So that means when she's a Bogeris, she goes free from the father, but not as a Nara. But as a Nara, she goes free from the Baal HaBayis that owned her as an Amor HaEvriya. So therefore, Misa Sa'av, the death of the father, Shemotziyam Yishus Sa'av, that definitely takes him out from the Rishus of the Av, She'en Omorish Lebanov, Mashazosolo Torah Bibito, that his children don't inherit his rights in his daughter that he had had, so therefore, the Maisiyah there don't go to the Achid. They went to the father, but they don't go to the Achid. They stay with her, so therefore, certainly, Eino Din, Shemotziyam Yishus Sa'adon, certainly, the death of the father, Reish Lakish says, should take her out from the domain of the Baal HaBayis, of this Shivcha, this Amor HaEvriya. So therefore, based upon Reish Lakish's Kal V'Chomer, so when would we have over here a situation that we had a Shaila as to who the findings of the Amor HaEvriya go to? It should always go to her, based upon what we just said. So Gemara says, but wait a second, the Gemara in Kedushin, we slugged up Reish Lakish, the Labi Tosef Reish Lakish. The Maran Kedusha says that Reish Lakish's Kal V'Chomer is broken because Simonim are a change in her guf. The death of her father doesn't change her guf. So we schlugged up Reish Lakish's Kal V'Chomer. So the Maran says, yeah, Neima mehai nami tevitiyuf. So here's another schlugging up of Reish Lakish because our Mishnah wouldn't make any sense. Maran says, no, that's not correct. Lo. Li'olam di'isiliyuf. In fact, we're talking about that she does still have her Metzias go to her father. And that's what the Mishnah is telling us. And what does it mean in the Mishnah? Umay hare hein shelohen. It means it goes to the father as opposed to lafuki de rabba. It goes to the father and not to the master. Rabba over here doesn't mean another shita of rabba. It means rabba, her master, the owner of this Amor HaEvriya. You might have thought that he's entitled to the Metzias. So the answer is no, it means shelohen. However, that shelohen doesn't mean to her herself. It means to her father. Because, as Rashi points out, Shelovia, the Korilei Shelhen, Mishum Da'av Minor Kozochi. It went to the father through her, but it doesn't go to her master. And that's how you have to understand the Mishnah, why it tells us that the Amor HaEvriya, the Shivcha HaEvriya, the findings that she has belong Shelohen. It doesn't mean to her, it means to her father through her, and not to her master. Then it said, Mitzias Ishto, If a man has a wife who is divorced, so then the metzia belongs to her and not to her ex-husband. Marta's gerush pshita, obviously. Why would you have a hava meaning to think that the husband still gets her fines? We had said it was a quid pro quo, since he has to support her in a situation where the husband is supporting his wife. So therefore, he gets the metzia, so there shouldn't be eva between them. But once he's divorced her, he's not supporting her, so why would you have a hava meaning to think that the findings should still belong to the ex-husband? So girush pshita, it's obvious that they belong to her. Why do we need a mishnah to tell me that? Of course, says no. Hachem Ayaskinan, we're dealing here not whether she's fully divorced, but Megureshes, she's partially divorced, but Megureshes, but not fully divorced. Such as, for example, he threw her a get, and the get wasn't clear. Did it land within Dalet Amos of her, or did it land within Dalet Amos of him, and therefore she's not divorced? So that's what we're dealing with. A Sofek Megureshes situation. And in this situation, the Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Zera's name is Shmuel, Kol Mokum Shomru Chachamim Megoreshes Ve'enu Megoreshes. In any situation where there's a Sofik, is she divorced or is she not divorced? In that situation, Balo Chayav B'Mezon Osel. She still is entitled to support from her husband, because maybe she's married to him. And therefore, since the Chazaka was that he had to support her, he has to continue to support her. So in this situation, one might have thought, well, he's obligated in her mezonos, so the quid pro quo, he should therefore be entitled to her fines, should still be in effect. So the Gemara says, no, that's not true. Because why did the rabbi say that under normal circumstances, if the husband is supporting his wife, so then she has to give her husband all of her metzios, because taima, my omer rabban metzios isha lebala, ki hechi lo tevi lo eva, so they shouldn't get into fights with each other, shouldn't be hatred. Husband says, listen, I'm supporting you, and now you found a $20 bill, and you're keeping it for yourself? So that's going to lead to eva, to hatred, to a very lack of shalom bias between them. So therefore, the rabbi said, well, mesakin, if the husband is supporting the wife, he's entitled to her metzios. But in our situation, the husband threw a get at his wife. He doesn't like her. And the only question is, was the get valid or not? And until we can verify that the get is in fact valid, so he still has to support her. But hacha, isla eva v'eva. There already is ketata over here. The husband tried to divorce his wife. This is not a happy marriage. And even if she's not yet divorced, there is no lack of eva over here. There already is eva. So therefore, the quid pro quo doesn't apply. Yes, he still has to go and supply him his owners, but there isn't going to be eva over here that is generated by her not giving him the metziah that she finds. It was Abel here because he divorced her. And therefore, this reasoning doesn't apply. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Even if a safek gerushin, the metziahs are hers, even though the husband still has an obligation to support her. Okay, let's go weiter to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, motzo shtari chov. If a person finds in the streets a shtar chov, a IOU, im yesh ben achrayis nechosim, if there's a lien on the properties, if this note states that, yes, this debt is due, and it was this note took effect on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, and in fact, any properties that are owned by this person on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar are liened to pay off this debt. So in such a situation, the Tanakam of a Mishnah says, lo yachzir, the person who found this IOU, this shtar chov, is not allowed to return it. Because Shabbez din Nifrayman, because if you go and return it to the original one who lent the other person the money, so if Reuven had lent Shimon money, and that's what the Shtar Chov says, and it says that if Shimon doesn't pay it back, this loan took effect on Adar Aleph, on the first day of Adar, and any properties that he has are a lien on this note, so then Beis Din will go and collect those lien properties. So Beis Din Nifrayman, and therefore you don't have a right to go and return this note because it's going to impact other people. Ein ben achrayis nechosim. However, if there is no achrayis nechosim written in the note, let's say it's a type of a note that doesn't require that it automatically has achrayis nechosim. That's a whole separate question. Does a note automatically have achrayis nechosim? In certain situations, yes, and it's considered the tos or the sofer, the one who wrote it, if he doesn't put it in. But let's assume that that's not the case. We're dealing here with a note that if you didn't write down achrayis nechosim, there is no lien on the property. So then, Yachzir, the person who found it, is allowed to go give it back to the owner of this shtar chov, the one who lent the money, because she'ein beisin nifrayman. You're not going to hurt the other party because there is no lien on the property. Give it Rameir. That's the Tanakam, Rav Meir's opinion. The Chacham disagree. The Chacham mamim, no. Ben kach, whether there's achrayas nechosim, whether there's not achrayas nechosim, lo yachzir. Because, mibneisha beisin nifrayman. Because beisin, even if they don't use it to collect from lien property, they're going to use it to go collect from Shimon. The note says that Shimon owes Reuven $100. Now, who says that that note really belonged to Reuven? Maybe Shimon had paid him back Shimon had been given the note, and Shimon lost it. And now we're going to give it back to Reuven. He's going to collect the second time. So the Chacham say, whether there's Achrayis the Chosim or not, you don't return the note. Now, the Gemara says, what are we talking? What's the circumstances of our Mishnah? The Mai Askino. What are we talking about? If you're talking about that Shimon admits, yes, I do owe that money. Yeah, he did lend me $100. That's a valid IOU, and I never paid it back. So, then why would you not return it? Even if there's Achrayis the Chosim, according to Rebbeir, he says you only return it if there's no Achrayis the Chosim. But if the person who the note is against, Shimon, who borrowed the money, says, yes, I admit, I never paid it back. This is his note. I owe him the money. So then, what difference does it make if there's Achrayis the Chosim or not? You should be able to give back the note to Reuven. No, if Shimon says, hey, I paid back that loan, or that's a fake loan, that's a forged document, or, yeah, I wrote that note because I was expected to borrow the money from Reuven, but I never borrowed it from him, and then I lost it, and now Reuven picked it up and says, he lent me the money. So in any situation where Shimon is towing, I don't owe that money. That is a false document. That document has been paid already. Whatever the argument that Shimon is making, if he's not molded, that's a real document, then what difference does it make if there's Achrayis the Chosim or not? He ain't been Achrayis the Chosim Mayatza. Then why are we returning it to Reuven? He's going to go collect on the note. Nihid, the Logavi Mishubadi. Okay, it's not having a lien on it. You won't go collect from the third party, the people that bought his property, but Mibnei Chare, Migbagavi, they're going to collect from Shimon's real property that he has right now. And he's saying that the note doesn't belong to Reuven, it belongs to him. So why are we giving it back to Reuven? So Mimanashach, we don't understand our Mishnah. So Gemara says, Leolam, we're talking about Kishichai Moda. We are talking about with Shimon is Moda that this is a real note. V'hacha, then why in our Mishnah do we have the machlokas between Reb Meir and the Chachamim? V'hacha, in the time of the reasoning is, the Chayshinon Shema Kosab Lilvos Benison the Lo Lova Ad Tishrei. Because you know what we're talking about? The note was written up as if it occurred on the first day of Nisan. But the actual transfer of the money didn't occur till 6 months later in Tishrei. So therefore, this would be a document that states you could collect items from this person's property that had been in his possession from Nisan. But the actual loan actually only took place in Tishrei 6 months later, and therefore you should only be allowed to go collect items that were in his possession at the time of Tishrei. So any item that he sold between Nisan and Tishrei should not be allowed to be collected from. But if you return this note the way it is, so then that would mistakenly allow you to go collect properties that were in his possession in Nisan when you should only have been able to collect from properties that were in his possession from Tishrei. And therefore, because of this concern, Reb Meir said, if there's achrayis on it, we don't give it back. If there's no achrayis on it, then there's no potential harm, so then we can give it back. Because the osi lemitra of lekucha shlo kedin. Because if there's achrayis on it, we'll end up being able to collect incorrectly from properties that had been in his possession between Nisan and Tishrei, when in fact you should only be allowed to collect from properties that were in his possession at the time of Tishrei. Mor says, if this is your concern, so then every shtar, yachi, kol shtar yidyosu l'kama, nechush luhachi, then we should be concerned for every shtar, even one that wasn't found. A shtar that Reuven is presenting, and he says, Shimon borrowed the money from me, and it says in the shtar, he borrowed it from Nisan. Why aren't we concerned that the loan actually only took place on Tishrei? So Mor says, the reason why we're not concerned in general is because there was nothing that was ruining that shtar in general. But here, kol shtar rei lo rei. There's nothing wrong with a regular shtar, so there's no reason to suspect that. But here, hani rei, how come this was lost? What's going on over here? Something is fishy over here, and therefore we don't allow you to go collect it if there's achrayis written to it, because now the people that have purchased property from Shimon will be hurt, and therefore we don't want them to be hurt. Adi Gemara says, Eloha d'tnan, how do you count for the following Mishnah? This is a Mishnah above the Basra. The end of above the Basra, it says, Kostum shtar lalove afa pishein mal v'imo. That a person is allowed to go and write a document. The one who's going to borrow the money is allowed to write the document, even though the one who's going to lend the money is not there. And we're not concerned in this situation that, for example, it's written up in Nisan, and that should only be collected. The money will only be given over in Tishrei, and you're going to collect it inappropriately. As Gemara now explains, how do we allow this to be done? Because we should be concerned, so that the document was written up, that it will be borrowed the money in Nisan, but it actually doesn't actually borrow it until Tishrei. And again, you should only be allowed to collect from lien properties that were in his possession in Tishrei, and not those that were in possession during Nisan. How can we allow this? So I'm Ravasi, and we turn to Yugim Olam Aleph. Ravasi says, When you're dealing with Bishtari Hakuna, when the person is writing up his own note that he intends to go and borrow money from so-and-so, he actually is being mishabed himself. He's agreeing to go and pay back from his lien property from Nisan, even though he's not getting at the funds until Tishrei. As Rashi says, the top Rashi, Shemaklalu Nechosav Mehayom. He's actually saying, my property is mishubed to you for this loan, even though whether I get the money now in Nisan or even if I don't get it until Tishrei, Ben Yilva, Ben Lo Yilva, Yigav Mehen Osus Mamehayom. I'm indebting myself to you no matter what. The heart she made Navshe, the Gemara says, and therefore that's why we allow such a normal note to be written. Gemara says, if that's true, what Ravasi just said, Ihachi, so the Masnisin, our Mishnah, Diktani, which said, in the Eshbar Nachai, it's the Chosiv, or Yachzir, then you're not allowed to go give it back. Vokimna, Kishachai Bode, and we're dealing over here with a case where he was Bode, that's a real star. Umishum Shemo, Kosav, Luvos, Medisav, Lo, no, Lova, Adishwe, we don't give it back. Yosi Lemitra, Lukuchash, Lokadin. So how come we allow that? Am I lo yaksu? Why should we give it back? Next, let's see. If it was a shnar hakna, so then hashibay levinashi, then the shibud really took effect from Nisan. If it's a shtar that wasn't a shtar hakna, so guess what? You're not allowed to have written it. Lekalamechash, because the armis kileko malva bade lokasvina. You shouldn't have written such a thing. So imanashach, if it's a shtar hakna, it really is taking effect from Nisan. And if it's not a shtar hakna, it couldn't have been written. So what's the problem? So Gemara says, "Amal Ravasi, Ravasi could say, Afo gav the shtari de lav hakna kilek amal bebade lo kasvino." Yes, even though we just said that you only write a shtar hakna with the predating it to Nisan to say the shiba takes effect from Nisan, even though you're only getting the money in Tishrei because you accepted that shiba from Nisan, and that's why you can do this. So even though we said you can only write such a shtar if it's a shtar hakna, otherwise you shouldn't write such a shtar. Nevertheless, our Mishnah is dealing with Masnisan, Kivan, the Nofa, since it was found, it fell already. There's something fishy over here. Israele, there's a ruining somewhat of this shtar. The Chayshina, maybe Dilma Ikre Vikosov. In this situation, maybe it was in fact written up inappropriately, and therefore, because it was something fishy over here, we have to go to the extreme and not allow the people who purchased property from Shimon to be heard, and therefore we don't give it back if it has a shtar that has a chayis in it. That explains Rav Meir, and with this we conclude today's shiur.